You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 11 April. We've got UK GDP data later this morning, expected 0.9% versus 1% previously. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Skoglo, PSG, Old Oak, lots to talk around. My question is going to be, is everything forgiven in markets back to normal? The answer, no. Hilton Kellner from Discovery Bank on their Spend Trend 25 report. And some thoughts for me. A lot of folks are asking my interview with Charles Savage, Purple Group, yesterday, saying, why didn't the shares rally after a 200% increase in HEPS? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, the once mighty Marian Roberts to be wound up. The main business in mining will be sold to a consortium of investors. Unsecured creditors will receive 5 to 10 cents in the rand. Business day, Parliamentary Budget Office shreds VAT hike set up to analyze fiscal policies. They say the Treasury is oblivious to the country's growing inequalities. Morning market. US was red, S&P down 3.5%, NASDAQ down 4.2%. The East is mostly red, Sydney 0.5% higher, then Tokyo down 4.2%, Hong Kong off 0.3%, and Tencent down 2.2%. Commodities mostly red, gold futures the exception, $3,239. The rest is red, Brent 63.23, platinum 9.36, palladium 9.07, Rand 19.37, Bitcoin 80,500. Top 40 opening call, green open, 430 points, little over 0.5% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Skulk Low, PSG, Old Oak. Skulk, the question was to be, is everything forgiven in markets back to normal, as I said in the intro? The answer to that is no. And there's so many data points that seem to confirm it. Gold above 3,200, dollar index at 100, the 10-year at 4.445, the US 10-year. This is not over by a long way.
Good morning, Simon, and good morning to all the MoneyWeb Now listeners. You're referring to normal. I mean, this might be the new normal. In actual fact, you just mentioned a few things. I mean, gold, you mentioned the 10-year yield, you mentioned the Dixie. I mean, and it actually dropped below that 100 mark. And if it's going to stay below this 100 mark, this is going to get interesting. And then you add into the mix the VIX. I mean, yesterday, again, breaching or surpassing that 50% mark, actually going closer to 55%. And I wouldn't be surprised if it sort of go beyond the 50% mark. And why that's important, over the past, let's call it 30 years, it's only really, really closed above the 50% level three times previously. It was the Asian-Russian crisis there in 1998. Mm-hmm. It was the 2008 financial crisis. And then more recently, we saw it, you know, breach the 50% mark in COVID-19 in 2020. Now the fourth time in 30 years, just telling you how uncertain the market currently is. I mean, it's really, really crazy times we're living in.
Yeah, and I take the point in that, and the VIX chart is quite spooky. I mean, in essence, what the market is trying to do and what markets try and do is find a price at which it's comfortable. It's just no one has any idea what that level might be. We had the suspension of tariffs back to 10% for everyone except China, and a 90-day deadline, but we don't know what comes next. And it's that, you know, the pandemic word was unprecedented. The word now for Trump 2.0 is uncertainty.
Definitely. I mean, and that's the most important thing, Simon, because you know, when we had, and I often said this, that the one similarity between the previous three times we've actually traded at these volatility, you know, volatile period, when the VIX was trading at these 50% level mark, we've started seeing in the media these acronyms. What type of recovery are we going to see? Are we going to see a V-shaped recovery or a U-shaped recovery, a W-shape, you know, or some sort of alphabetical recovery? We're trading at 50% VIX levels. We've had Trump now come out 2 days ago stating that no, we are pausing. Mm. We're pausing the Trump tariffs now for 90 days. Still to date, we still haven't had one media outlet really coming out, really being strong, saying what type of financial investment house. Mm. We haven't seen one of them come out and say what type of recovery are we going to see from the current levels. And that's making me a little bit worried. I mean, this uncertainty is definitely having people more, talking more about second and third leg downs than actual recoveries. And that is telling us, I mean, I don't think that the worst is over yet. I do think that these uncertain times, they need some certainty and they need it really, really quick.
That's a great point, because that Wednesday massive rally on the Nasdaq, second biggest rally ever for the Nasdaq, the biggest rally happened in 2001 in the middle of a bear market, and it continued lower after that. One day does not necessarily change anything, and this does feel like a market which is ultimately heading lower. I don't know how much lower, but definitely further down. Let's quickly change track. Life Healthcare came out. Hospital groups, I mean, I like the idea around healthcare. Obviously, it's an important point. We can't really delay it. When we need health, we need health. Bed nights is up some 2%. Basically, these guys are fancy hospitals, and bed nights is a good metric for them, in my sense. And seeing that up 2% should help profits quite nicely.
Yeah, I think, it's sort of a defensive play. I mean, we were talking about volatile and uncertain periods. I mean, there's a few things that's sort of certain. Why do they always say death and taxes? We need hospitals. It's funny how your defensives usually, if you look at the companies that sort of remain stable, is these, let's call it healthcare companies, these hospital companies, tobacco companies, British American Tobacco, yeah. And Anheuser-Busch. But back to healthcare, I think they've really shown some progress. I mean, over the past year or two, they've done a few nice deals, corporate deals. January announcing again that they're selling their Life Molecule imaging. I mean, the LMI group, they're talking about, this is a 13.9 billion rand deal, which they sold to a UK company. And then also that they mentioned, very, very important, that proceeds is said to be returned to shareholders. So I think there's a bit of good news in this company, not just the fact that their occupancy has really increased, quite a bit. I mean, moving from the, let's call it 66% levels, now, over 68%. And they're talking about, moving that upwards towards 70% level. So in general, I really thought that, for now, remember, this is just some guidance, but they're really talking about normalized headline earnings per share to be trading, expected to be over 12% higher. That in this type of market environment, I would take that as a win any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. And some defensive, some perhaps places too high is what we're looking for while markets carry their crazy way. Skalklo, PSG Old Oak, always appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Horton Kona, he is CEO Discovery Bank. The Spend Trend 25 report is out. Horton, appreciate the time. First question, how's the report done? It's yourselves, Discovery Bank and Visa. Are you just crunching the data coming through transactions?
Hi, Simon. Yeah, Spend Trend is a joint initiative between Discovery Bank and Visa, the largest credit card provider in the world. So the kind of collaboration is fairly unique, and it brings together the almost kind of market level insights that Visa brings with the very, very detailed, granular client behavioral insights that we have at Discovery Bank. And it's the biggest spending analysis in South Africa. It's the most comprehensive. It's the broadest and the deepest. It covers 5 years of data consisting of 12 million cards and 2.6 billion transactions. So our actuaries love it. This year, in addition to the transaction level data, we also interviewed 1,000 South African credit card consumers across the board to kind of stress test the quantitative analysis against qualitative responses that they had around their perceptions of how they're spending their money and how they're behaving in the kind of financial system.
It's big data. It's almost a 100-page report. The thing that absolutely stood out to me, and it's highlighted in the notes to the report, is consumer card spend has slowed. Last year we saw inflation down, we saw rates down, we saw two-pot withdrawals, but it is still tough out there being a consumer in South Africa.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's reinforced by the observations in the report. And as you say, the spending was fairly flat year on year amongst the base. And the use of credit cards tended to be not so much for increased liquidity. That came from other sources, like the two-pot retirement fund withdrawal system. And a positive outcome of that is, you know, some of our research showed that clients used those withdrawals to pay down expensive debt, which is a really positive thing, to fund kids' educations or for home improvements and maintenance. So, you know, meeting real needs and bringing good liquidity into the system, albeit kind of a trade-off of long-term savings for short-term needs. And it reflects the pressure that consumers were under.
I take your point. There is some positivity creeping in. 27% of South Africans expect to increase visits to restaurants. They're not there yet, but it does say that they're perhaps looking out at the year ahead and saying things are going to be better.
Yeah, I think that, you know, South Africans, we are resilient, and we say this every year when we look at this report, and it's reflected in that. But I think we generally do believe that this year will be better than the last, and the trends tend to bear that out. You know, we don't see extremes in kind of our experience and our analysis. We tend to see a resilient consumer that doesn't have the volatility of the highs and lows that we sometimes observe in other markets. And we also see some of the new trends coming through, like streaming, online shopping, and AI. And, you know, so South Africans are right at the kind of leading edge of digital banking and digital services.
Yeah, and it comes to the point, and maybe all consumers are sharp, but we know about South African consumers, and they shop clever. We see loyalty card usage being used. We see a lot more online shopping for groceries, which is convenient, but also shout out to the retailers who've made it a good experience. We're being clever with how we spend our money as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely a kind of a combination of those factors that are driving consumers to be more value conscious. So as you say, kind of accessing loyalty rewards, whether it's at a retail level or via the banks, using services that make it more convenient to shop. And one of the interesting things that we've seen is that when people do shop online, they don't compromise in other areas either. So interesting insight from the study is that, you know, we are very much focused on making healthy food more affordable for our clients. And health online baskets have about a 30% healthy food component. In-store, slightly lower at about 27%. So when people shop online, they tend to kind of bring in other factors like their health to a greater extent. And maybe it's even avoiding that sort of that sweet run at the end of the store.
Exactly what I was thinking, which always bemuses me. The other thing which really stood out, virtual card, up 45% of respondents are using virtual cards. We are security aware, which again is a really good thing to have. I mean, the key benefit of virtual cards is that in essence is security.
Yeah, and that comes through very, very strong. You know, 60% of the consumers that we surveyed said they're using virtual cards because they are more secure. You know, 20% because more convenient, but the security aspect reflects the fact that today people are very aware and very conscious of fraud risk, and that's coming through strongly. And the shift away from cash is also driven to a large extent, not just by the cost of carrying cash, you know, for both merchants and for consumers, but the safety risk. So the virtual cards, digital wallets are increasingly being used for security reasons, as well as being just very low cost, very convenient, very efficient. And what we see is that 2 out of 3 of our clients surveyed are virtually cashless.
Yeah.
They're using cash a couple of times a month. And where they do, it's typically in transactions of less than 100 Rand. So very low value. And we're seeing on the flip side, through Visa's research, merchants often are going completely cashless. Yeah. So they accept only digital payments, which is more secure and much more convenient for them.
Absolutely. And I did see that. The only cash is really, as you say, is that below 100 Rand. We're also spending a bit more on takeout. And I'm reminded of something that Kevin Hedewick used to say when he was CEO at Famous Brands, Debonairs and Steers. And he said, our customer is the time-pressed parent or the time-pressed consumer who wants a quick value meal on the way home. And I can't help thinking that that might be part of it, because you're also seeing a lot more travel time. We're spending 35 hours in our car every month as we go back to the office.
Yeah, certainly a return to office is evident. And in the major cities in particular, You know, I think it's probably got to do with choice and convenience, as well as socioeconomic factors. But in Joburg, for example, you know, you see eating out being at the highest level in the country and, you know, growing at a significant rate. So, you know, we've seen 13% growth rates in eating out and takeout, also driven to a certain extent by the emergence of some of the convenience e-commerce services that just make it so easy to access.
That's also a good point. It's stuff that was around, but really has come of its own. And it goes back to, as a country, we have really strong online environment to help us with our shopping. We'll leave it there. Hilton Kona, CEO, Discovery Bank, the Spend Trend 25 report. Appreciate the time.
A ton of data in that report, almost 100 pages. A lot stood out for me. The one that perhaps most is that we're spending, the average South African, 35 hours a month in traffic. That is a terrifying thought. This is, we go back to office full time. Are you back full time? Are you still remote? Perhaps a blend for you. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Some thoughts for me on Purple Group. So I chatted with Charles Savage yesterday around their results, which came out Wednesday morning, plus 200% in headline earnings per share. And a number of people contacted me and saying, what the heck? The stock didn't move. And here's the thing. There's a couple of points. First is, it's around expectation. It's not necessarily the absolute number. What was the market expecting from Purple Group? They had issued a trading update, much as we saw with Life Healthcare yesterday. I chatted with Skulk there a moment ago. But even on that, it didn't really move. The point is, we kind of saw it coming, right? We knew that they had bought Thriven, or Thrive rather, as they call it. We had seen in the full year numbers that they were certainly getting revenue from that. Improved markets also helped us understand that it would be better. Improved consumer conditions in South Africa. Still tough. But, you know, two-pot money, lower rates, lower inflation. We kind of saw it coming. There's also the other side, is what pushes the stock higher? Well, we need buyers. That's what really matters. It needs to be those buyers. It's a small cap. It's an absolutely tiny stock. So there's no institutions really getting involved here. This is going to be private investors. And unfortunately, a lot of those potential private investors have been burnt. The stock was R3.50 just 3 years ago. Now it's trading at R1.06. So there's folks out there who bought it, sold at a nasty loss. It went back to, I think, 50 cents after that 350 high, and they are burnt. And they're like, I'm not touching it. I don't care how good the numbers are. So you don't have institutions. You've lost some of the sort of private client who would typically be buying, and that limits your ability to move. We also have some sellers. We can see them sitting at certain price points. More recently, we had a seller at R1.04. They seem to have backed away. There was also a buyer at exactly R1. They also seem to have now got their full. The point is that investing is long term, and longer term, the stock will reflect the value. It will respect those earnings. We saw headline earnings of 2.36 cents. That was for 6 months. If we double that for the full year, we get 4.72 cents at the close yesterday. That is a forward PE of 22.5. That is not massively onerous. This is a stock that has been on a PE of over 100 at points, but 22.5 is it's probably about fair value. So now we need the next 3-5 years to do continually good numbers, and then we can start expecting price to move. I don't know when it'll happen, but remember, long-term investing, more than anything, patience. That's it for today. We were chatting with Charles Savage yesterday from Purple on those results, and we asked if you were a happy shareholder. Almost half said yes, great numbers. The rest split between let me have a look and missed it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast. Just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome review and a 5-star rating in your podcatcher of choice. We will chat again Monday, removing bias from your investing with data.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.